John chapter 7 tonight, if you would please. Book of John chapter 7. When you find the chapter, if you could just wander right down to verse number 37 with me. John chapter 7, verse 37. Let's read that together. It says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ come of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?'" Notice this last verse, verse 43 and 44. It's not a text, but notice it. "So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him." Interesting, the words that we have, and there were some who accepted and some who didn't. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your marvelous and wonderful word. We pray for your strength, your guidance, more than anything, Lord, that you might anoint, that you might empower, and that we would be susceptible to all that you have for us. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. If you go back to chapter, or go back to the verse, excuse me, the first of the chapter, you would find that this particular time, the setting is the Feast of the Tabernacles. Sometimes it is referred to as the Feast of Ingathering or the Feast of the Harvest. And one of the things that would take place, actually on a daily basis, is that the priest would, and there'd be quite a ceremony with this, he would take a golden vessel and he would go to the Pool of Siloam. And that pool, by the way, was a rock that was hewn out and it received water from another place. Matter of fact, there was an aqueduct or a couple of occasions was built, and would fill with water, and they would bring that water then to the temple. Some of that water would be used in the sacrifices and so forth. On the last day, the water would be poured out in a great abundance, and it was to depict something that I believe is amazing, that is rivers of water. Now let's think for just a moment. Go back to the Garden of Eden, and you can turn there if you wish. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 10. It's interesting that God takes four verses to tell us something about this river. It says, "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There's bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same as that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates." So out of the Garden of Eden flowed a river that went into four parts that basically watered what was the known world at that particular time. And so as I think about these priests pouring this out, I think about that. But also, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, I always have found this particular text fascinating. It says, "Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house." We're talking about the house of God. Ezekiel's brought to the door of the house, and he says, "And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward." Can you get a mental picture of that? So he's at a house, water is coming out from under the threshold. "For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without into the utter gate by the way which looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. Now, a cubit is considered anywhere between 18 and 24 inches. And so you're looking at quite a distance there. And it goes on, said, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. So here's this vast area of water, and it's very low. It's to the ankles. This gets interesting. It says, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. How's the water getting deeper? That's always fascinated me. And it says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said to me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to turn to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go to the desert and go into the sea. Listen to this. Which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. What's wrong with ocean water? It's salty. And here it says they will be healed when these waters reach to it. Now, keep that in mind. We go to the book of Revelation, and we find here John is being shown something. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Sound like the same thing? It does to me. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I find those things fascinating. We find here in this scripture that the Lord says that out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I would say to you, rivers of living water, or perhaps we could even inject healing water, thus a truth we found here in the Word of God. Now back to our text, we find that there's these surrounding events of Jesus' proclamation. It was the last day of the feast. And on that last day, we find that I lost my whole mind here for a moment. Just a minute, I'll get it back. You ever have senior moments? Are you all having a senior moment right now?
Yes.
Okay. And we find that on that last day, Jesus is standing there, and he says, if any man thirst, come unto me. What has just taken place? They've brought the water, and they've poured that out, and now Jesus says something that really is pointing to him as being the water of life. And we find that this was poured out as a memorial to God's provision to his people. When they wandered in the wilderness, we find that there was a number of occasions that there was some tremendous miracles as God would bring water to these people. I remember on one occasion, the waters were bitter, and they were to cut down a tree and put the tree in the water to be made sweet. By the way, what did Jesus hang on? A cross made out of a tree. And he makes the waters sweet, if you please. We find on another occasion that they needed water, and God said to smite the rock. And so he smote the rock, and water came gushing forth. I used to just see like a little hose, and then I realized we're talking about 2 or 3 million people and their animals. This had to be a big thing. And the waters came out, and no doubt there must have been an area there that would have held all that water. They might be able to get it. And we see the Lord blessing them in this wilderness and providing for their thirst. But we find something of greater importance when we read this chapter, and that is that this water that he's referring to in verse 39 says, but this spake he of what? The Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Okay? So here we're talking about something marvelous and wonderful. Now, God gives to us physical thirst. I believe perhaps God helps us to understand that that is given to us that we might recognize a spiritual thirst, a deeper thirst for the things of God. Now, the real thirst quencher here on earth is water. And by the way, if you do some studying on that, you'll find out that water is the best thing for a person to drink. Seriously. Only fruit juices and milk provide a longer lasting quenching. But there's some qualities of that, especially sugars, that are not helpful. And so water, by the way, those fruits or those particular things, what do? They contain water. Many studies have concluded that we need pure water for the proper functioning of our organs. For instance, dehydrated blood. When we have dehydration because we're not eating well, it causes the blood to become thicker. Does that not make sense? And the thicker the blood, the higher the blood pressure. And so one of the keys to keeping blood pressure down is drinking water. Kidneys need it, or they don't function as they should in filtering out debris. And they need a lot of water to keep things going. People who are prone to kidney stones could have themselves a better day if they drank a lot of water. And so what do we find? Men are asked by the Lord Jesus to drink if they're thirsty. What does he say? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Here's an interesting thing. All men have within them a thirst for God, but we make substitutes. Just like in the physical world, and it's very much observed today, I'm going to step on some toes here, much as our coffee-crazed world today. Not any amens there, probably some oh me's. But what do you do? There are people who never drink water. By the way, a good friend of mine, Brother Gene Kimmel, never drank water. He got all of his water content from Diet Coke and who knows what else. And what did he die with? Problems with his kidneys. Interesting. But we make our substitutes. And if we're going to see men saved, there's something that you and I must do. As a preacher of the gospel of Christ, it's not hard to win people to Christ if they find out they're lost. It's not hard to lead somebody to Jesus when they have the realization they are thirsty for something that cannot be taken care of in this world. And so the Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And then he goes on with this. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. And so we find that the picture here is very unique as it shows a great satisfaction as it flows from, really, the Lord unto us. But if you notice something, it's even a greater satisfaction because it's flowing out from us unto others. Now it's interesting, we stop and consider that he is making this as the Spirit of God. You and I need to learn to walk in the Spirit of God. You and I need to have that marvelous filling of his Spirit that it might go forth unto those around about us. And it's interesting what water does. Water, we find in the book of Psalms, says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And what does it do? It helps to nourish and bring forth fruit in the lives of other people. And according to Ezekiel, as we saw, their oceans will be cured of its salt that prohibits growth when it gets on the continents and so forth. So what are we looking at here? we're looking at a scripture that I believe teaches us something very, very important. And perhaps we can find its importance in a couple of questions. First of all, ask yourself, are you prohibiting the flow of the Spirit? Are you prohibiting the flow of the Spirit? I'm going to go back to the book of Ephesians for a moment. And chapter number 4. I think that's where I want to go, yes. And I want to go to verse number 29. Verse number 29. I want you to see something here, very important. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is corrupt communication? But that which is good to the use of edifying. So it's anything that's not edifying. Edifying means to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So God says, don't let something come out of your mouth that isn't causing others to what, be edified in the grace of God. And then in verse number 30, notice the first word. If you got your Bible open, what is that word? And. It's connecting it to what we just read. Connecting it to this corrupt communication and how we ought to what? Not have that, but have that which is good to the use of the edifying, that we may minister grace to hearers. And then he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And so he tells us here something I find tremendously interesting, and that is, God wants to understand that you and I can really be a person that grieves the Spirit of God. What are we doing? We're prohibiting the flow of the Spirit of God. When we go on, it comes right back to what he said in verse 29. We read verse 30, grieve not. And verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And he goes, and again, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So what do we find? We find that God wants to fill us with his Spirit, and that out of our belly would flow those living waters, or the Spirit of God, which would bring healing and help to the lives of other people. One of the problems in Christianity is oftentimes we learn about God, but we do not know him. Is that not true? We know about, but we don't know. I know about different people, but I don't know them. And there's a very vast difference. And so a lot of times people study their Bible and they get to know all about God, but they miss something very important, that's to know him. And to know him, by the way, is to allow the Spirit of God to come into the heart and life and to use you. And what happens oftentimes is, because of our actions and reactions and whatever you want to say, we prohibit the flow of the Spirit of God. Another question I might ask you is this. Are you drinking in that you may flow outward? Well, I was in the hospital. It was interesting because every time I went to the bathroom, they wanted to measure it. And I also found out that they were measuring what was going in. They were measuring what goes in, what comes out. And, you know, if it's not going in, it's not coming out. And I'm not sure why they do that, other than perhaps to find out if you're really taking it in. And we're not going to be able to have that flowing of the Spirit of God if we're not taking that in. By the way, what did the Spirit of God write? Did he not write the Word of God? Is not the Spirit of God he who reveals to us Christ in intimacy? And so it becomes something that's more than just a knowledge about, but knowing Him. Are we drinking in that we may flow outward? Are we sitting down as we read our Bible to just to learn something? Are we sitting down to let God bring something into our soul? There's a big difference. I mean, we can read and read and read and not let something really come into the soul and speak to us and do something for us. When God used Jeremiah to speak to His people, it's an interesting verse found in chapter 2 and verse 13. He says, "For my people," he's talking about the Jewish people, we could make application, I suppose, "for my people have committed," he says, "two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." What's he saying? They were going after cheap substitutes as opposed to allowing God to bring His marvelous being within us and to have that control in our life. The Spirit of God is necessary in our lives. We, I fear, often do not even really believe He's a person. But He is a person of the Godhead. I do not understand, in many regards, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Son was begotten of the Father. The Spirit was sent by the Son. But they're all three one, they are God. And you and I have the wonderful privilege to not only have Him in our soul, especially as the Spirit, but that Spirit then teaching us about Christ and the beautiful, marvelous truths, and with that, things flowing from within. I hope I'm making sense. God wants things to flow from us. Why are Christians so oftentimes miserable? Because they're stagnant water. We must drink in that it might flow outward like a river. And it might be that which brings healing to the lives of other people. That's God's desire for us. And I believe also, rather than being a miserable Christian, therein lies tremendous joy. The world's looking for fun, and God offers joy. Not that you won't have some fun, but joy is a whole lot better than fun. Fun comes from some experience here and there, and those things, they cease. So many people work for the weekend so they can go play, when they can have joy 7 days a week. And it's not based upon us, based upon Him. Allow Him that part in your life. He wants that. How can you do that? We need to be a people who are willing to empty ourselves of ourselves. It's not what we want. It's not how we feel. It's not what we do. It's allowing the Spirit of God to control that. We ought to be like a puppet. You say, well, that's kind of mindless. No, it's giving your mind to Him. Letting Him bring that control. He will not take us in the wrong direction. Amen? Well, I trust that'll be a help to you, a blessing. I've been studying some of this. I've been just overwhelmed with the truth of the Holy Spirit of God. How marvelous He is. How we need to allow Him in our lives. And let me read that again. "This spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given." And so He's talking to them about the Spirit and being that which is what? Flowing rivers of living water. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You so much for this time we can have together. Thank You for the Word. Spirit of God, we thank You tonight that You want to do such a marvelous work in and through us. Forgive us when we stop that flowing of the Spirit of God. and many times because we grieve him and because we're disobedient and many other factors. But, oh God, I pray that we might be a people ready to allow you to do that work. Bless in the moments we have left, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.